people of St. Lucia on the whole. I want to thank him for his mercies and blessings, for giving me the strength, the patience, the fortitude and the health to represent my people of Liku South in this honorable house from the year 2001 until today. In fact, I actually began representing the people of Liku South from 1997 when I first put up for election in 1997. Let me tell my people of Liku South that I know that they are getting very impatient because there are certain things they want me to do. There are certain things they want to happen and has not happened yet. I promised that I would get certain projects going, and I know I have not delivered, but I promise, and I want to tell them that I will deliver. I want them to sit back a little and think of what is happening around us today. I want to tell them that we are in hard economic times, and the revenue on finance that we must have to undertake our projects are not easy to come by. I want to tell them that this bleak situation faces the world over. I am aware of some of their needs, and I ask for your patience, my people of Liku South, and your understanding in this critical time. And I wish to say that little by little, we will accomplish. And I want to use this phrase: we cannot fill the bucket all at once, but with steady drops, we can eventually fill it. It may be slow, but sure. For you have my commitment, and I will do all within my power to ensure that I represent you to the best of my ability. Let me turn and let us look at our roadworks in the constituency. When I assume office on the opposition bench in 2001, all our roads were in the state of disrepair. Everyone, and I know, for example, the Delco High Road, I was the one who had to work hard to keep it motorable from 1997. And you know that I have, at my own expense, with the help of my family, with the help of my friends, we have had to fill the potholes, the craters, and I do that every year. I know some of you are now complaining that I am not doing it anymore. From 97, you are complaining that I am not doing it anymore. But let me tell you, it was so bad that before the Easter, I was forced to do it again. But let me say, let us be hopeful. Let us be hopeful. After this budget, we expect to commence work on that road. And I'm sure when that is done, we all will feel better. And I know you are not the only ones complaining. Everybody who comes to the resort and they have to go through the security company. However, let us see what we have done. We have been able to repair and rebuild the following roads: the Duga Lakuville Road, the Tiroche Lakuville Road, the Tiroche Calypso Road, and the Sheik and Monva Road. To all of these roads, we have managed to put some concrete drains so that the water can flow. But there is still a lot of work to be done, and as time goes by, we will continue to put concrete drains to keep the water from destroying those roads. The Deriso Highway, as you may know, was commissioned from the time the previous representative was there, that is Mr. Cathy Lyons. That road has been commissioned, and every year it has been put back and put back and put back. I hope finally this year we will have that road fixed, and we will have it fixed properly with proper drains so that it can last us for the next 15 to 20 years. We have also done some work, patchy work, on our byroads, and you know there are many of them. We have the Spring Fobuape Road, we have the New Development Road in Aje, we have the Wiswa Number 1 Road in Tiroche, we have the Fodla Road, we have the Paybush Road, we have the Vilpai Road, and we have the Domel Road, the Leslie Road, and all these roads. We have done some work, some sort of patchy work, where we do a little patching here, fill a hole there, and fill a hole there. I want to tell you that this time we will continue to work on those roads. We have begun putting some concrete drains, for example, on the Fobuape Spring Road. We are putting some concrete drains. We are putting a bit of concrete drains on the Deriso Vigier Road, because I feel it is important that we put the concrete drains before we actually do much work on the road. Every time we do the patching, the rain falls and washes away, and that is a lot of waste. So we will concentrate on putting concrete drains in the Bosha Development Road as well, put some concrete drains, and then we will begin to work on those roads on a gradual basis. I want to turn to our household water problem. We have had that problem in the constituency for a while. You remember, just about 3 years ago, a new tank was erected in Deriso, but that does not serve the whole constituency, and we still have problems of getting water on a daily basis. I want to tell you that I have sourced money to buy 100,000 gallons water tank. In fact, I have sourced $450,000 to buy a 100-gallon water tank and to erect it. But we still have some obstacles in the way, because we have problems in acquiring the land. As soon as this is done, we will put up that tank, erect that tank, and then we will try to get the necessary means of obtaining the pipes and other equipment to ensure that we give the Tiroche area an independent tank, so that one day when you wake up, you will not have to worry about whether there is water in your tap or not. Let us look at some of the projects to be undertaken. One, I think the member for Miku North said that someone, her ladies wanted a home for the agro-based project. Well, we are thinking of converting the Asia Rural Center into an agro-based plant and an agricultural depot. Now, to do that, we need to refurbish the center, and we also need to repair the roads leading up to the center. So that is one of the things we need to undertake. We need to improve the following roads, and we want to do so because these roads encompass residential areas. The Spring for Boafé Road, the new developed road, meant to Atage, the Delto Vigier Road, Wisboa number 1 Tiroche, and the Bosha Development Road in Tiroche. We will, to do this project, we will do it in phases. Phase 1, as I said, we will deal with the concrete drain, and then phase 2, we will deal with the surfacing of those roads. We want to commence the construction of the Baobab Park in Duga in Miku. Now the Baobab Park, the reason why we want to develop that park, because of a tree called the Baobab tree, which is one of the oldest trees in the world and very, very kept. I think you find that tree only in certain parts of Africa. We need to preserve that tree, and to preserve it, we need to build a park, beautify the area, so that tourists can come in and visit this. So this is one of our projects we want to start this year. Construction of a multi-purpose park in Lacouville, in Timoshe, there are no playing facilities for this area, and we have already identified the land, and we are now finishing the process of acquiring the land. And as soon as that is done, we will begin the construction of a multi-purpose court in the Lacouville Tiroche. Now these monies will be monies coming from our Taiwanese fund to do this project. We want to complete also the Lesotho Park in the Tiroche area. That is an area where we want to prepare for the children to go out and recreate and to play on afternoons. We want also to continue to provide electricity poles and street lamps to residential areas that are without and at places where they are especially needed. Let me look at some of the things we have accomplished so far. We completed the refurbishment of the Davidson Multipurpose Center. We also built an office there for our Miku South District Council. The councillors have been appointed, so we have an office and they are ready to start. We also provided, we got 200 folding chairs for that center and a few tables so that when you come to the center for your meetings or your gatherings, you will be able to be seated. We also provided lights for the multi-purpose court at the Riso. We completed the drainage around the playing field of the in the Riso. But while I say this, let me take this opportunity to formally thank the young contractors, businessmen, and other individuals who on their own helped to improve the surface of the Davidson playing field, sponsored and organized sporting activities to help keep sports alive within the community. And these gentlemen know themselves, I'm not going to call their names, they know themselves, and we are very grateful for your help, and we want to tell you that it has been appreciated. We have to provide 2 modern basketball hoops and stands for the Blusher multi-purpose court so that the young people can use to practice the basketball. I was also able to source 10 computers for the Monroe College, the help of the Monroe College, grateful to Monroe College, for the Blusher Combined School, and also I was able to provide the Tiroche Combined School with 4 additional computers to make their number 10 so that they could expose the students to computer, because many of those students living in the rural areas have not been exposed to computers. And therefore, we are hoping that with the 10 computers in the school, if not too many, but at start, the students will begin with to learn computer skills. It is also hoped that with the effort, that effort of providing computers to the school will be augmented with the ICT program which the Ministry of Education hopes to implement in the rural schools in particular soon. We also achieved the establishment of the Miku South District Council and the appointment of its councillors, which I alluded to before. We also had developed committees, development committees and subcommittees to work in tandem with the council in an effort to help the various communities within the constituency. The council will help to undertake local government activities and projects within the constituency. They will take charge and or assist with the regulating of the use of the public facilities within the communities, like our multi-purpose centers. They will have to regulate the use of that. For the immediate or near future, we want to organize the young people to participate in the social activities in the various communities. Example, sporting and educational activities. The youth will be encouraged to take advantage of the skills training opportunities that are being provided by NSDC through the OECS Skills Inclusive Group Development Program. Because we are encouraging them because centers will be developed or centers will be established in Pasir, in Black Bay, in Shoreset. Attaining these skills will help them to access jobs on the job market. We also want to encourage the youth to participate in the ICT program, which will be established at the various schools. And what we intend to do is to organize a component where the youth will be able to use the computers at the school. In other words, we want to do that because sometimes we have these computers in the various communities and at the school they are not being used. So we want to organize where the young people can learn computer skills using the computers within that program. We also need to source and acquire additional land for the expansion of the Derifo Cemetery. The present cemetery is congested and looks rather disorganized. This new addition will help to facilitate a regulated and systematic use of the cemetery burial ground. Yes, this is quite true, because this cemetery, as you know, the people of Belzi use that cemetery, and the people of Vigi as well. So we need to expand that and to organize it so that it would look better. So that is one of the responsibilities which the council has, and that is something we need to work on almost immediately. My people of Miku South, these are some of the things that we have done, and these are some of the things we hope to do, and we hope that we can work together to ensure that we achieve some of the things that we plan to do. Madam Speaker, let me move on to the Ministry of Education and Culture and to highlight some of the things that we have done and some of the things we intend to do. But before I go, I think the member for Kashu South asked certain questions with regard to some of the issues and some of the topics raised by the Prime Minister in his budget address. I have decided not to go into these topics, but I think I'm in fairness to the member of Kasrisat, I wish to give certain explanations to some of the questions that he asked. I think he made a point that some teachers still are not being paid while attending teachers' college. And I think that point, I have explained this point before, and I want to put it to rest. I want to say that the Ministry of Education has taken the stance to pay all teachers who go to teachers' college and those teachers who do the BA program. Now, we know for a fact that some teachers complain that they are not being paid. And I have a classic example, and that is what I need to look into. A young lady came to me just before the budget and said to me, I am attending teachers' college and the others are getting paid, I'm not getting paid. I said, you're a teacher. She said, I taught for over 6 years. 3 years at two different schools and 3+ years at one school. I said, okay, you did that. I said, now when you left, did your principal tell you that you're going to continue? Did your principal recommend for you to continue? And that's where the problem is. And I want people to understand. The principals, sometimes, they let the teachers teach for 3 years. I think if a teacher has taught for 6 years, somebody has taught for 6 years, that person should be given a position. That is my own feeling. That is if they perform, I don't know. But the point is, that teacher, or that individual, but I can't call her a teacher because she was not recommended to continue, went to teachers' college as a private individual. Now, as a private individual, the ministry will not pay your salary. You can get a bursary. You can apply for a bursary like all others. You can apply for a bursary and get a bursary. But a salary, because you are not a teacher, although you taught. No, but this is how it has been. Although you taught, but you are going to teachers' college as a private individual. The teacher, the principal should be the one to say, okay, to the ministry, this person has applied for college, this person will be continuing, and right away, this person is with my salary. And I think, I hope that clears the difficulty.
No, I was just saying, man, I don't think that's really for me. I think, one thing I just want to make the point to the honorary member from Miko, well, to the Minister of Education. I think this explanation is given here is not for the country. I mean, I understand what he's saying there perfectly, but all the time we've been in this house, the government has said, we'll pay for teachers who are at teachers' college, and that makes a difference. Now he explains it to the country, they should understand that.
Okay, point taken, member. Just a little guidance on this. You stand on a point of order or a point of clarification, or you don't stand at all. Okay? And on a point of clarification, member, you don't have to yield. On a point of order, you do have to yield. On a point of clarification, you don't need to stop. Fine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Speaker. The Prime Minister spoke about the Education Review Commission. And I need to add a little to this for explanation as to persons who would become members of that commission that I expected to become members of that commission. We have the private sector, the public sector, the general public, private citizens, persons from the school system, within the school system, youth organizations, governments, political parties, opposition, trade unions, religious groups and bodies, academics from universities, colleges, and persons from overseas missions. Now the reason for such a large composition is to look at the education system, look at what is happening, review the policies, what exists, and also from that group to help with the plans, the way forward for education, and to also help with the plans for the upgrading of the answer. It will give, you know, a broad section of society an opportunity to be involved in the education process. Well, the upgrading of the offer to university, I think that some people said that they didn't know what it would be called. The thing about it is that the process began, there was a consultant, and he worked with, in fact, he was supposed to be cross-section of society, teachers' college, principals, chamber of commerce, a number of persons within the society, and to come up with a report. And that report came up, right? And that was mandated by the board of governors. Okay? There were consultations held within the various sectors, as I told you. And the consultant was Professor, he's still a consultant, Professor Bowles. And the project, or the upgrading, it will be called a Stafford University College. Now there's a reason that he suggested that, and I think that was accepted by most persons. And the reason for this is that we do not want to lose the college component, because we have the technical aspect of the college, which we must not lose sight of. Those persons who come in and do their certificate in plumbing, in refrigeration, and so on, we cannot lose this. We need to continue to provide those courses for our people and take it from there. Those persons can go on to do an associate degree in those courses, as some of them are already doing, and those who perform well can move forward to do the degree. Now, according to Professor Bowles, the fact that the college is already doing the associate degree, it means that they are doing 2 years, they might need another 2 years to complete the degree, which means that they would structure the program in such a way that the associate degree is up to a certain standard that they can move from there into the full degree program. So in doing this, there are a number of things that need to be established, and some of them already have been established. You need to establish a project office, appoint the following officers: director of institutional research, project manager, educational planner, secretarial, clerical staff for the project office, academic program development, quality assurance, improvement for institutional effectiveness, personal officer in the Office of Human Resources, facilities manager, and of course, whilst you are doing this, there are a number of things that you need to put in train. You need to get your thing, look at your building, library service, you've got to look at whether you have the enough space, building. You need to begin to train your teachers, because as you said, the member for that yourself said, you cannot go into a university college with persons just with a first degree. You need persons with a second degree who have the experience, and persons with PhDs. So you need teacher training, and you need to do all of this. But most of all, you need finance. Finance is also very important. And obviously, you know, the economic meltdown across the world. This is an obstacle. Also, we were thinking of attachments, like those persons already have masters and so on, attachments to other universities to be able to look at what is happening there. You'd also need to invite other universities to talk to them and to raise with them, so that you can develop a program which is acceptable not only for Swahili, but for the West Indies, the regional level, and the international level. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I thought it was important to mention this. I also think you spoke about indiscipline. I think in the Prime Minister's submission, in the special address, there were a few things that were mentioned like what you've done. For example, under the SSA 2008 program, the ministry was able to obtain 300,000 euros. And that will be expended on linkages between the schools and the surrounding communities. It is the creation of opportunities for students to receive after-school training and for young people to be occupied within the wider community by receiving training in ICT and gain access to ICT facilities. Now we have a further program. There is an other SSA program where the ministry was able to source 4.8 million euros for an ICT program. And that program is to be directed, first of all, to rural schools, because it was felt, in other words, in presenting the project to the EU, it was felt that the rural students are at a disadvantage when it comes to ICT in particular. And they were saying specific attention must be paid to our rural schools. So rural schools initially would have the advantage. But we would like to spread that program all over our schools, because already in our schools we have what is known as learning resource centers, and we also have IT rooms where we have computers. So we need to organize all of this into a systematic process whereby we would be able to offer ICT programs to all our schools. But of course, as you said, we would give attention, specific attention, to the rural schools, because some of the time they are the less or less advantaged, or they are disadvantaged. So this is what we want to do. We also, for indiscipline, we know the curriculum, as some people say, is mainly academic. Right now, we are trying to do a number of things in the school. We are trying to bring in physical education teachers to school. We are trying to bring music teachers to each school so that they can do physical education, they can do music. We are also trying to diversify the curriculum. Right now we have teachers who are now being trained in the arts, in theater work, and all of these subjects. And we are also trying to ensure that within the school system, we have counselors who will be able to deal with the children, the problems that they face. If they will have someone to go in and get advice on this kind of thing. Okay? And of course, in the Prime Minister's submission, we spoke about the uniform groups, and we are hoping that through these organizations where they be able to instill discipline, because the uniform groups like the Cadet Corps, the Scouts, the Guides, the St. John's Ambulance Brigade and all these kind of things would instill discipline within the child. We are also thinking of adopting, in fact working with CARE to look at a program, you know, where they deal with the adolescents. This program has worked with students who are straight, students who dropped out of school, and now they have returned to that institution, and some of them have done very well. We are trying to adopt this kind of program. And of course, we want, somebody spoke about, and which we are now trying to embrace, this service voluntary organization, Partnership for Service voluntary organization, where students would be allowed to give voluntary service. And we must look for a way that if they go out and give voluntary service, whatever, community service, whatever, that this is incorporated within the when they leave school, either on their record book or on their profile, whatever, that somewhere it can feature that they give so many, it's a year or 6 months of community, and what they did. You know, these are some of the measures that we are hoping to adopt. Of course, I think the other question had to do with, you spoke about the task force report. That was one of the things, that there was a task force on education. Yes, that force was established. The task force has submitted a report. The report has been accepted by cabinet. It is there. We can issue copies. In fact, some of the measures, the recommendations in this report, has we have begun to implement. And of course, the member for Miku North, this morning spoke about students going to secondary school with very low scores, achieving low scores at the common entrance examination and not being able to read and write. We are conscious of this problem. This is a problem that we have to deal with, because it is not a problem that you can eradicate in 1 year. You have to work, first of all, with the primary school. You have to work with the primary school and begin the process at the primary school, so that by the time the children enter secondary school, they would be able to perform better. And one of the things that we are thinking of, is that we are saying that students who score below 30 in the first year of the common entrance examination should be allowed to remain in school, because I think right now we have space at the primary school, because while the secondary school population is rising, the population of the primary school is decreasing, and students who have not achieved a 30% mark should be allowed to stay 1 year and make it put the onus on the primary school to ensure that the children achieve a certain standard. And of course, we are going to stress the English, we are going to stress the mathematics, and of course we recognize too that we must begin to bring back, because when we came in with the establishment of the universal secondary education, we found that all the electives or options, whatever you want to call it, like the agriculture, the home economics, the handicraft, all of those subjects have been removed from the primary school curriculum. In other words, they don't do the cooking there again. They don't do the agricultural science there again. And they don't do the handicraft. They mainly do prepare them academically, especially to pass the common entrance examination. We recognize that. And in some schools, as we go around, we realize that there are stoves there in those schools. There are sewing machines in those schools. And we are hoping that the schools, not in a very large way, not in a very sophisticated way, but to get the children to begin to do some of those things, that when they get into the secondary schools, they would have more electives, more options to play with. And then that would give them a greater scope in selection of subjects that they wish to do at the secondary school level. I hope I answered most of your questions. I'm not sure if I left anyone out. Okay. But let me move on. The the Ministry of Education and Culture strives to make quality a defining characteristic of our education system. One major concern of the ministry is equitable access. And I heard the member from Mikunov saying that we need to make, until we make all the schools the same, provide them with the support, and I suppose we should provide them the same opportunities, the same facilities, the same quality of teachers. And I think that is what we are striving to do. And that is one of the reasons right now we are trying to ensure that all schools have the basic facilities. Now, as you know, some schools have had more facilities than others, sometimes not with the blessing of the ministry, but because of the school that their parents, sometimes they have schools to purchase more equipment because they want their children to be exposed, and that we have no control over. But at the same time, we are trying our best to ensure that more schools have the basic facilities, the basic infrastructure to ensure that students have equitable access to the schools. In addition to increased access, the Ministry of Education also embarked on a number of initiatives and programs to enhance the overall quality and education system. And I want to outline some of them. We have developed a strategic outlook for 2008-2014. That is, we develop, and as time goes on, we review and we develop. Curriculum and Assessment Policy Framework, that is developed. HIV/AIDS Policy for the Education Sector, that has been developed. Telephone Policy for the Education Sector, that is also being developed. ICT Policy for Education Sector, currently being reviewed. And as I told you, we got this 4.8 million euros to develop that program within the school, with emphasis on rural primary schools. Early Childhood Education Policy, we are reviewing that, because as you know right now, we have combined the daycare and preschool to form the Early Childhood Unit, and we had to come to Parliament, as you recall, to say that early childhood education starts from 0 to below 5 years old. Curriculum reform for the integration of ICT being examined. Examination policy for education sector being developed. Early childhood education, including the Roving Caregivers program, that is in train, that is going on. And of course, we spoke about the Modern Language Pact, which the Prime Minister alluded to in his budget. And right now, we are looking at this French program with the Francophonie group. And of course, in our secondary schools, some of our secondary schools teach both English and French. But we want to begin to look at the French at the primary school level and even look at the Spanish. So that is in train. We are working on that. Provide tech support for improvements in numeracy, literacy, ICT, and musical performance skills. So these are the things we are also doing. Provide support for instruction to those subjects at the secondary school level that have not traditionally been part of the formal classroom instructions and are examined at the safety level. Right now, music is being examined at the safety level, theater arts, physical education. These subjects, now CXC offers those subjects. So this is a way that children can do those subjects. Also, we provided support for the needy students in the form of, well, the school feeding program, that has been expanded to more schools. The transportation subsidy, of course, It was expanded again last school year from 11 to 17 schools. Books, histories, and rental of books at the secondary school level, and also the loan of books to very needy students at the primary school level. All this is continuing. We also look at programs that enrich the school life of the children, not only the academic and the physical education and the music. We look at other things. Elocution and choral singing competitions at both primary and secondary school levels. The National Science Fair, and I will talk a little on this, on the National Science Fair in a while here. The National Science Fair, spelling bee for grade 5 students. This year the program will be introduced at the secondary school level. The spelling bee we're going to introduce at the secondary school level, because we realize that a number of students at our secondary school have problems with the spelling as well. So we're going to move it from the primary school level to the secondary school level. The various activities in observance of Mathematics and Literacy Month. We also have the Reading Month. We also had the first ever general knowledge competition. We had some students representing St. Lucia in the CARICOM Champion Quiz. And of course, they were successful. They placed second in the Caribbean. We had a national team represented St. Lucia in the first ever Regional Students of Heroes Galleries Quiz General Knowledge Championship, and they emerged victorious as well.
Member for Miku South, you have 15 more minutes.
Madam Speaker, I beg to request the suspension of 3210 to allow the member an additional 60 more minutes.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 3210 be invoked to allow the honourable member for Miku South an additional 60 minutes to complete his contribution. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Member proceed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We had, to continue, we had summer workshop held for children under the theme Food and Beverage Tourism. We had display set up for Library Week, like the Jazz Festival, Christmas, Nobel Laureate Week, Valentine's Day, Independence Celebration. We have had Library Week 2009. Science and Technology Fair for primary and secondary schools, and with increased participation and generally all-round good performance. Now, in last year's Science Fair, that was 2008, Science and Technology Fair 2008, there was this Regional Young Inventors and Innovators Competition, and that was held this year in Tobago from the 31st of March to the 1st of April, and St. Lucia submitted three projects. A homemade cooler that was from the primary category from Willard Primary School, and it gained first place at this regional competition. At the lower secondary, the Choiseul Secondary School presented the flying car, and they got second place at this regional competition. And at the upper secondary, Viewport Comprehensive School And they presented a project called Spoiled Milk is Not Spoiled. And they won a special prize at that competition. So all three projects received a prize at that competition. But then there was this Fifth Summit of the Americas where they had this competition for young inventors and innovators of the Caribbean and Latin America. And there were 34 countries represented at this summit and for this competition. And again, St. Lucia presented the project, the homemade cooler by the Millet Primary School, and that project received the top prize at that competition. Out of 34 countries, and of course, there was a write-up in the papers in Trinidad, young inventor honored at summit, and the other one, his name, Charlemagne, comes up with a cooler. And his name, his name is Chester Charlemagne, and there were other members of the team. The other members of the team did not travel to Trinidad and Tobago. The other members of the team were Sherry Wilson, Craig Regis, J.D. Regis, and Francia Augustine. And on behalf of the Ministry of Education and the people of St. Lucia, I want to congratulate them, and I want to congratulate the school and the families of those students. In fact, we have made St. Lucia very proud, and right now, it is they are contemplating of making, producing those coolers, because if these coolers actually, the materials are not expensive, recyclable, and reusable material. That's what they use to produce that cooler. And it is being looked at as whether this cooler can be produced on a commercial basis. So we say hats off to Chester Charlemagne and his group, and to the Millet School, and to St. Lucia. So the Indian St. Lucia is very proud. Yeah, as I may continue. Physical education and art in education. The Ministry of Education promotes physical education and art education because before, although physical education was done in school, but it was done rather not in an organized way. In fact, there was only the little exercises and so on. But right now with physical education, you have the practical side, you also have the theoretical side of it as well. As two of its main priorities, there was a music conference held recently as to decide the way forward for our music teachers and for music education in our schools. And right now, instead of one music specialist at Kamdu, we now have two music specialists at Kamdu. We have a lady and a gentleman. We have the bachelor, his name is Mr. Joseph, was appointed recently. Jason Joseph appointed recently to sort of help with music education so that at least the students will be exposed. So now I speak of music, I remember Chatty South saying that that $50,000 less was given to the School of Music. But I want to say initially it appeared to that instead of giving them the 150, but that was rectified soon afterwards, and they have gotten back the $50,000 soon after it was discovered that they were given $100,000 rather than $150,000. So they have the $150,000. So that's back. That has been rectified. All schools were provided with the services of a music and physical education teacher, as I said before. In addition, 12 schools in District 5 and 8 received keyboards and classroom percussion instruments and at least two teachers at the secondary schools, form four and five levels, were trained in marching music SBA. Because remember I said now that CXC is now offering music as a CXC subject. A key component in quality education is quality teaching. Training of teachers, principals, and other educational providers in order to provide quality education and instruction and assessment has been a major focus. And we are hoping that this summer we will have training of teachers. In other words, we want to have camps, summer camps for children. We want to have, we don't know, we are just planning it now. We also want to have training for teachers in the various subjects, music, and also on. So we want to have, for principals as well, we need to have a number of training sessions so that we can try, instead of looking at quality, when we look at quality education, we also look at quality teaching in the process. Move on. Okay. At the level of the schools, we have embarked on parental education, on good parenting, teacher education on guidance and counseling, need to learn conflict resolution techniques, education on the peer group relationship, and student education on self and ownership. Here are some of the measures we hope to implement once we can get the funding. In other words, funding is important. But again, as we said, in this hard economic times, we are not sure whether we're able to get all the funding required. And I think the Prime Minister mentioned some of those. I'll just mention a few. Design programs and laws to curb after-school loitering. Device mechanism to observe and monitor indiscipline. Just a few I'll give. Increase the number of school counselors in school. Well, that again we have begun at the secondary school. At each secondary school there's a counselor. At the primary school we do not have a counselor at each primary school. We are at the district level. So that is we need to improve upon that. And as I said before, introduce co-curricular activities and uniform groups. We are hoping that is going to help. We can do that within the school system instead of doing what it used to call extracurricular activities. We do it within the school system. Whether it's on an afternoon, a lengthy day, where they can everybody stay in and choose one discipline that they would like to join. And if not, if they feel, they don't feel comfortable, we can decide to go into things like clubs. There are a number of clubs that children can go in and ensure that each child is engaged in some sort of activity that will help to improve the discipline of that child. Okay, we spoke about the paying the teachers and teachers scholarship. Right now we are paying for 50 teachers doing the Teachers College program, and we are paying for 16 of them during the Bachelor of Education program. Okay. Now, training sessions, workshops were conducted during the past year in a number of areas, and I'll give you a few here. Orientation sessions organized for newly appointed teachers for the school year 2008-2009. We had this. And the topics covered were managing difficult behaviors, understanding the adolescent, classroom management, planning and preparation for teaching learning, managing relationships, teachers' rights and responsibilities. And that is important. Because some teachers go into the teacher profession and they don't know what their rights are, they don't know what their responsibilities are. Interactive whiteboard training for learning resources coordinators for 10 secondary schools. We are trying to start with getting 10 whiteboards for 10 secondary schools. Now, we would like to give every secondary school a whiteboard because it's an important tool nowadays in the world of technology. But they are expensive, very expensive. I think one of those boards cost about $9,000 or more. So we are trying to begin with 10 secondary schools and say, hey, because with the workshop and the training, most of the teachers, most of the principals would like to have one right away. But the problem is a problem of finance, and therefore we will start with 10 secondary schools, and then, well, of course, yeah, and then we will move on to the other secondary schools in the next few, and then, if possible, even move down to the primary schools if we cannot get, where they can use it at least in the learning resource center. Because that is some of our technology now. Part of the technology is the whiteboard. We have successful teacher training, workshops in social sciences, mathematics, language arts, natural sciences, music and home economics. We have various professional development sessions with principals and vice principals of secondary school. And of course, we had the HIV AIDS workshop. That is important. We cannot leave that out of the system. We had also item writing workshop in November of 2008. That is also important, especially with CSE and CXE and the SBAs. We had the SBA Common Entrance Examination Middle Standard Exam Task Writing Workshops in April and December. We provide library training for teachers at Labe ESBA Primary School and to staff members of the electoral department. Reading workshop for librarians. Okay. OS online course in education for democratic citizenship for teachers. And St. Lucia is part of the pilot project. This project, the OS online course in education for democratic citizenship and for teachers. St. Lucia is a part in the pilot group. Now, I remember a member of this house spoke about character education yesterday. In citizenship is part of character building. And as I said, there are a number of these schools who have this character building classes. They have this character component within the school system. And as I said, citizenship is one. They have responsibility, they have loyalty, they have a number of character building principles that they want to establish. So it is now beginning to take root in a number of our schools. Okay, as I said, the Ministry of Education has undertaken a number of initiatives in the area of information technology. The Ministry of Education and Quizom Media Corporation has agreed to pilot the program for a period of 6 months, that is IT, in schools. During that period, the software will be evaluated for suitability, reliability, validity, and various other tests. A total of 12 schools from two regions will participate in that exercise. Again, it's a pilot exercise, and that will have our schools participating. Okay. Now, we spoke of the whiteboards and the interactive whiteboards, and I think the member for Sufre wanted to find out whether Sufre. Yes, Sufre is part of it. I have a list there of the schools. Grosile, that's the secondary school, Grosile, Sufre, Clementine, Marigold Secondary, Asia Secondary, Georgia Secondary, Gifford Technical, Bocage Secondary, Grand Rivière, Sir Ira Simons, and Cicero Secondary. These are the 10 schools that we are going to start with. The others will come later. Plans are being orchestrated for the revitalization and implementation of the Destination Mass Caribbean project. Training in the use of the Destination Mass software was conducted, and the software was piloted at Ancillary Primary School, because Ancillary Primary School has a good learning resource center with quite a number of modern computers, so it was being piloted there, so that it can also be introduced into the other schools. When we came into office, we also realized that NIC, that is, okay, NIC developed a program in mathematics. It's a software in mathematics for schools at a cost of $4 million. It's called, entitled River Deep. Now, I saw the program. It's a good program, but we have some difficulty in unlocking the software. We have to get another set of software to sort of unlock that software. And we are now working on this to ensure that it becomes operational soon. And as soon as it becomes operational, we will be introducing it to our schools. And of course, we will be introducing it to schools where we have computers, where computers are available. And as I speak of computers being available, we are also trying to live and work with LIME, Cape and Wireless LIME, to ensure that most of our schools are given the services of broadband for the use of the internet. And they have agreed that they are going to work with us to ensure that this happens. Wherever they have the landline, the schools have the landline, then they can introduce the broadband so that the schools can have access to the internet. And that will be coordinated by our IT unit within the Ministry of Education. Now, as I speak of the IT unit, the Information Technology Unit at the Ministry of Education undertook a number of activities during the final financial year to enhance and maintain ICT in education. And here are some of the achievements so far. They developed and maintained Ministry of Education and Culture web page, and that was done exclusively by the manager of the IT unit, and well, there are not quite a number, there are only about two or three persons working in that unit. EduNet, ADSL connectivity at most schools, including a database of schools line connection. Improved scheduling of maintenance of schools and satellite agencies. Established wireless networks at education district offices and selected schools. Upgrade software of the domain controller at the Ministry of Education. Commence the networking of the computer laboratories at the St. Joseph and St. Mary's College. Now, what the IT unit did was, during the course of the year, we asked them to try and get an inventory of the computers that we have in our various schools. And of course, that inventory was carried out, and just carried out by the IT unit. And it was found out that at our primary schools, we had a total of 452 computers, and at our secondary school level, We have a total of 899 computers. Now, that does not mean that the computers were evenly distributed, as I said. You might find that some schools would have as many as 35, 40 computers, and some schools would barely have 10 or 6. Now, we need to sort of regularize this a little. And the reason why we took the inventory is to know exactly how many are in each school. And in developing this ICT program, it would help us be able to distribute the computers in a more regularized manner. Because instead of, you know, our primary program, ICT program, mainly we're going to concentrate on the primary, especially, as I said, the rural primary schools, but we will also extend the courtesy to the secondary schools. Because some secondary schools, like the Marys, some Julius are well off, but there are some secondary schools where you have just a small number of computers. So we need to make it, you know, give those students an opportunity to become particularly literate. So we need to, that's why we carried out that inventory, so that we would know where the computers are. Now, speaking about computers, we realize that we have a problem of safety and security in terms of computer now. I don't know, there is an attraction to computers. Fees now are attracted to computers. There seems to be an outlet or a ready market for those computers. Of late, let me, if I can get the figures. Okay. Of late, those schools have been victims. Cartridge Comprehensive, I think they lost about 15 or more. Vidbutel Secondary, Sir Ira Simmons, George Charles, Cicero Secondary, St. Joseph's Convent, Schuzel Secondary School. As a result, the Ministry of Education seeks to provide adequate security to ensure the safety of students and school facilities. What we are doing now is that we are trying to pilot CCTV in schools. We tried it at George Charles, we tried it at Angers to see how well it will work. Now that again is also an expensive venture. We're trying this to see how it's going to work. And you know, towards the end of February, NSDC lost 27 flat screen computers. And of late, just recently there, the Marigo Secondary School lost a number of laptops. So, right now, we need to ensure that our security measures are improved, and that, of course, again, we would need the finance if we are to go the CCTV way, and if we need more fencing, whatever, we have to decide what we're going to do. As I said, to keep it safe, we must take measures to ensure that we safeguard not only the computers, but our students and other facilities of the school. So we have to tighten that with technology where we can manpower and maybe fence another thing. We have another concern in terms of safety at the school. And I if you permit me to read this one, I want to read it. Sexual abuse by teachers has been a major area of concern for the Ministry of Education and Culture. All cases brought to our attention were dealt with expeditiously and reported to the relevant authorities. And the Teaching Service Commission has been taking action. We wish to announce zero tolerance policy as we aspire to make our school environment a safe haven for the children of our nation. Now I know there has been this incident and it created much concern to us. It was an issue that was with the public for some time, and we all know or heard of it, the incident in the Dexter School. And we got the report in two stages. We got a report saying texting. The teachers text the students. And that was what we got. We worked on this immediately, and there was suspension of the teacher on our feet. When we got the other report of alleged sexual abuse, immediately the student commission, and the guy was suspended, and that report was sent to the chief of police for investigation. And the last thing we heard that when we spoke to the police, that the guy was at large, but we learned that he had skipped the country. So we are hoping that we would get the support of principals, teachers, on matters of this nature. It's a very sensitive matter, and it does not augur well for the teaching profession, and it makes the Ministry of Education, the teaching service, and it put them in bad light. And I must say it was an unfortunate incident, and we are hoping, and when you speak about safety and security at our schools, we do not speak of safety and security in terms of the computers and the equipment, but safety of our teachers, our principals, our children in particular, especially the vulnerable ones, the ones who are very young and cannot defend themselves. We need to ensure that they are safe, that the school is a safe environment, and that parents would feel confident that they can send their children to school and they will be well taken care of. And we are hoping that we can offer parents that solace, that when they send their children to school, that they would not be worrying and thinking, well, what is happening to my child? And I'm hoping that we can achieve this, and we need the support of the entire public, the entire community in which we have our schools, to ensure that this takes place. Okay, I want to go to the student support services, which I spoke about. Quality education, as we spoke about, is also all-embracing and inclusive. To ensure quality education for all, the Ministry of Education has implemented programs and initiatives that provide the poor and marginal students the opportunity to participate in school. Such programs include scholarships and awards to students wherever we can be provided. And this year, through Digicel and the Line, we were able to provide 38 students with scholarships. We also provided 3 island scholarships last year to students at the South Africa Community College to study at universities of their choice. We spoke a while ago of the expansion of the school feeding program and the expansion of the transportation subsidy. In the process, we ensured that the cooks who prepared the meals were given a decent salary, so we had to increase in salary to ensure that they take their work seriously and they prepare properly for the children. On the bus subsidy so far, we have a total of 234 students benefiting from that program, and a total of 154 drivers. 154 drivers. We said 2,344 students benefiting from it, and then we said that we have 154 drivers. Hello? Now, we have we were looking at the enrollment at the primary and secondary school level. As I said before, the population at the primary school is decreasing while the population at the secondary school is increasing. But we have a concern. We were looking at the school attendance average. We found that the school attendance average at the primary school stands at 85%. So which means that we have 15% students really out of school at the primary level. And the secondary school at 89%. That's 11%. And what is alarming, it is said that these percentages are mainly due to dropouts within the school system. Now, if that is so, the Ministry of Education has appointed an attendance officer to look into the attendance of students at school. But we have a problem. The problem, one is insufficient, that is for sure. The second thing is that our compulsory school age is up to 50. So the question is, can you compel a child after 15 years old to attend school? So that is something we may need to look at, especially at the secondary school level. And we may begin to think, well, whether we should make schooling compulsory up to the 17, 18 level. I'm not saying that we should do that. We may need to look at that. But we need to look at other things. We may have to do a number of things. We may have to make school more attractive and enjoyable. We need to begin to look at that. Because some people may find school very dull and say, what am I doing in school? It's dull. Non-attractive, non-enjoyable. So we might have to look at that. We might also have to help to look at the socioeconomic condition of our children. Whether they are capable of attending school, how capable are they to attend school? How capable are their parents able to send them to school? So we have to look at the socioeconomic condition and how we can help that. And we must also probably look at the incentives and the welfare that we offer our children, whether we can do a little more for some students, some particular cases, whether we can do a little more for them to assist them to go to school. That is very, very important, because with universal secondary education, you are having every child moving from the primary school to the secondary school. And if every child is supposed to move, and I said so last year and I said so again, although the contention has been raised that there are schools in almost secondary school in almost every district, but with the common entrance examination and the performance of students on the examination, we find that there is a lot of crisscrossing of children to secondary school. You will find probably a child from Beaufort going as far as Grand Rivière in January, and a child from January going as far as Angers. So there is a lot of crisscrossing because of the common entrance examination, and each school has a cutoff point. And once the child falls below that cutoff point, the child has to go to a school that would accept that child. So we have to begin to look at this thing. And I was asking myself whether looking at the examination results, common entrance examination results, if we look at a margin of error of 5 points, for example, a child who scores 20.9, they go 20.9, 20.8, 20.7, 20.6, and so on. Now, a child with 20.9, you might find about 100 children with 20.9. And a child with 20.6 would not go in the same school. You'll find themselves below that cutoff line if they cut off at 20.9. All the 20.6 and the 20.5 would fall below. So I'm saying we need to look, maybe it's time to look at the margin of error of 5 points, because if you have 20, you probably could have scored 25 or 50. and look at the area in that case where the children come from. Maybe you might call it a partial zoning. And instead of saying the child to Grand Rivière from Beaufort, the child could probably stay at the technical school in Beaufort, those around Beaufort. And those around Denver, instead of going to the technical school in Beaufort, stay at the Belgrade school. These are things, possibilities we are looking at. Because it is causing a lot of problems. And although at the secondary school we may provide transportation subsidies, but there is something called food. Something to eat when they get there, and they may not have on this kind of thing. So we need to begin to look at this and see how best we can help. Okay, we have, of course, a special education program, and we have the special school in Beaufort in Souffre, and of course, you know how people view these schools, and sometimes children are taken from the primary school who have learning disabilities and sent to those schools. And sometimes it's difficult to get them back into the mainstream. So we need to look at special education in a special way to see how we can address this. Now, on the special education, advanced training, 3 credits of education specialist for individual diagnostic work was conducted by Lindbergh College during March 16th and 20th. 2009 in Saint Lucia. We have been using Lindbergh College to train our teachers in special education in counseling. Now those persons who have received that training can now conduct effective screening and referral processes and can conduct child adolescent observation in school environment using effective observational strategies and techniques. And because that is important, sometimes a child may have a problem, but that is not diagnosed. And the child goes through the primary school system with that problem. And what happens sometimes, that child is called Johnson, dull, not recognizing that child has a problem. But right now, with this training, the teachers will be able to recognize the problems that those children face and be able to make a determination as to what the problems are. And then it's possible that they go to a special school to receive special attention. That is necessary. So we need to do all of those. And again, as I said, to do those training would cost money. What we are trying to do is to, instead, we have some arrangement with Lindbergh College. Instead of sending, let's say, 4 teachers or 5 teachers up to Lindbergh College up in the United States to be trained, we are trying to see whether we can bring a team down and do, if it is a summer course for 4 weeks, let them do the training here, you know, where it would benefit many more teachers. Instead of 4 or 5 teachers, you can do 20, 25 teachers via the same course. And in this way, you'll be exposing more teachers to training and you would have, you know, sort of a cadre of persons. Because if there is a turnover, you still have some people in the system to assist. We have, of course, the counseling program at the school. As I said, the secondary school, there is a counselor in each secondary school, and we also have counselors at the district level to help the students. We had, additionally, some of the things we did. We had the HIV/AIDS workshop for teachers, effective parenting, as I told you, career development, emphasis for forms 3 and 5, peer helpers, empowerment group, focus on self-esteem, work on team building, focus career guidance for form 5, understanding the adolescent, and these were sessions with teachers. So these are some of the things that we do and some of the things that we are hoping that would benefit the education system and that our students would be taken care of. Okay.
the skills development, I spoke and I mentioned the 4.6 euro for the ICT program. We also have the OECS Skills for Inclusive Growth, conducted by the NSDC. And when we came in, they were offering mainly hospitality services, and we asked whether they could not include ICT, agriculture, and construction within the program. And modules were formulated to offer courses or skills within this discipline. And what we are trying to do now, we are trying to refurbish some centers. There is a center at Pasir. We need to work on the roof. The roof is bad. We need to do that. There is the in Lafaz. In Lafaz, where the Atomcraft Center used to be, we need to refurbish that to ensure there is a center there. In other words, that is to sort of decentralize the service so that more students would have access to those skills. And we are hoping to build a youth center at Blackbay. We are now in dialogue with our Ministry of Planning to acquire the land so that we can build this skill center as soon as we get the land. Once we do that, we will offer training to many more young persons at Blackbay, Pasir, and Shuzel. Job placement. In 1 year, the NSDC has placed 600 trainees on job attachment through its aggressive job placement program. And that is happening both in the north and in the south. Now, this can be compared with figures from the previous years where approximately 500 trainees were placed over a 2 year period, 2006 to 2008. And what has happened now? The overall percentage of persons being trained has increased to 85% from 65%. But again, there was a setback with the ceiling of the 2010 computers, but luckily I think what's the name of the firm has offered some corporate citizens have come in and offered of course you have to NDC, NSDC, and of course with that we will be able to continue our training. Of course we also have the TVET program. We are trying to ensure that our TVET education is intact, because right now at CXC there's the CVQ, which is being offered, which is a Caribbean vocational qualification in TVET education. So we must begin to ensure that we offer TVET subjects at our schools, of course we must have that TVET council, the formation of the TVET council. We must also have the TVET accreditation unit to ensure that whatever we do is of a certain standard, and that when the children get the certificate that they can use it for the world of work. So there's a lot to be done. Then we have also the NELU, which is the National Education Learning Unit. They introduced a home care program, which entitled Child Health Care and Elderly Care. And they are working with this program with a group called Liberty Nursing Support Services. I don't know whether you're of this group. I think so. With the assistance of that group, Nelly is putting a program together which would be child health care and elderly care. In other words, where you train to take care of children and take care of the elderly. Well, you know, here we hire anybody to take care of the elderly and to take care of our children. But these are special skills, especially in developed countries. If you don't have a certificate, they will not allow you to take care of their children or take care of the elderly.
So going that way, I think, is more scientific in a sense. And of course, you are more assured that, although you never know, you are more assured that the persons you are going to hire, once they have gone through that training, they would be more capable of taking care of your children and taking care of your elderly. So these are some of the programs that we have in training. Okay. Of course, we spoke about SAFWA, and that was mentioned in the PM's address. I spoke about the ICT program that has already been spoken about. Okay. Now, we want to check some new initiatives. I just want to speak this before. I just about coming to an end. Yeah. Two new initiatives. One is we want to see whether we can introduce a mandatory summer program for all students to score below 40% in the national examination. Now, this is something we cannot say for sure it's going to happen. We have to explore the possibilities, because of course it would involve getting persons to teach and all of these things, and we have to get the consent of the parents and so on, so that at least we can help them to catch up a little. And another program is teacher training in reading strategies, including ICT for all primary school teachers, and at least 4 from 1 teachers from each secondary school. We want to give our teachers some sort of training in ICT, the use of ICT at the primary school level, because not all of them have this skill. So we want to have this kind of thing. These are 2 new initiatives that we want to do. And also we want to have other programs like counseling programs for counselors for dealing with substance abuse. And you know, that is a problem that we have. We need to deal with this head on. And you remember there was a survey some time ago, and it quoted the percentage of students drinking alcohol at the school level, smoking at the school level, and drugs, marijuana and other things. So we want to do that. We also want to have clinical supervision programs for training for principals and vice principals. We feel that is important. And of course, as I spoke earlier, music courses for teachers and persons on other plans for teachers, music teachers, and other teachers who are interested in the teaching of music. Madam Speaker, as I spoke about some of what is happening in my ministry, you will realize that we have concentrated mainly on the positives rather than the negatives. Of course, there are negatives. In all systems, there are negatives. I did mention a few of them, but we are hoping at some point we will take all these negatives, and of course, with the help of the Commission on Education, we will look at those, and they too can help us with ideas as to the way forward. Let me end by on my ministry, not my presentation. The Ministry of Education and Culture seeks to optimize and sustain economic development and quality of life by creating a wholesome and functional individual who is accepting of civic responsibility and empowered to compete in a global environment. We accomplish our mission by providing quality education for all and fostering an enriched culture through research, legislation, policies, a comprehensive development plan, and support services. Madam Speaker, let me here now state that I wish to declare that I give full support to the appropriation bill and to the budget address presented by the Honorable Prime Minister to this House. Madam Speaker, this budget I call the people's budget, because it gave relief to a number of individuals within our nation. It is a budget that gives and takes. It gives and takes. It gives and takes. And if you give and take, I think that you are being fair. You are being very fair if you give and take. Madam Speaker, let me just speak on a few comments made by members of the opposite side during the delivery. Madam Speaker, I remember hearing the member for Sufre in his delivery at one time, in his delivery, where he stated that when he spoke about the SLDB, San Lucia Development Bank, and he indicated why an SLDB when all banks are crashing around us. And I think he also went on to show that why should one go with a bank that does not make any profit. Madam Speaker, I would like to refer the member to a budget address given in this house in 2001-2002 on page 5 of that delivery, and I want to quote here, page 5, 2001-2002, budget address by the Honorable Leader of the Opposition at that time. And it said, still in the financial sector, the San Lucia Development Bank increased its net profit from $2.56 million in 1998 to $4.8 million in 2000. This represents a 60% improvement in just 2 years. When you talk about but you are not there at the time, so you would not have known. That is why I want to read it to you.
Educating you. You were not there. You were not there. The records are there. The records.
You also, the member for Sufre also said that
record.
That the
power of record.
9/11, the 9/11 crisis was the worst crisis than what we are facing now, worst global crisis. You did that and a member for Catholic East. No, I don't think it was qualified. And I must say that I am not surprised that you're already trusting now, because the leader of the opposition said that this crisis was one of this global crisis is one of the worst global crisis as compared leaving out World War One, and in World War One, so that's World War Two, right? So you should be in favor of some disagreement. And also the member for Castro Southeast also spoke of the 1930 depression. He spoke about that. But I want just to, and you from member from, sorry, and the member from Sufre also said that while 9/11 was one of the worst crises, the No, I need to show him the record because he was not there. He said that the Labour Party did not complain. We are complaining now, but the Labour Party did not complain, and there was much economic growth. There was much economic growth. But let me refer you to the budget address of April 8, 2003. The first page. And I want to quote. And I want to quote from this. But Mr. Speaker, despite the best efforts of those who conveniently forget that St. Lucia is a small island buffeted by a global sea, this government is proud of its record of achievement in this period of uncertainty. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, we do not share the pessimism of those who greet with jubilation every forecast of economic difficulty, whether domestic, regional, or global, in the vain hope that this will somehow reverse their political fortune. Instead, Mr. Speaker, we are proud that our government, we have in a short few years carved a strong legacy of modernizing the social institution of the physical infrastructure of this country in the midst of tough global economic challenge. And he went on to say, during this last year, the St. Lucia economy witnessed a marginal recovery reflected in a real GDP growth rate of 0.1%. April 2003. No, you are saying that there was no complaint by the Labour Party. There was no complaint, and there was economic growth. I think things were going so well. But I want to also tell you, Madam Speaker, that in 2000-2001, the economic growth at that time was 0.20%. In 2001-2002, the economic growth was -4.6%. In 2002-2003, the economic growth was 0.1%, as I said here. And in 2003, although in the address, it was estimated that it might have been 2%, but it says that the statistician says, let us be careful and cap it at 0.7%. So, Madam Speaker, on a point of litigation, I would just like to tell you on what I said. I made a reference to 2005, 2006, and I stated that in 2005, the economic growth was 4.5%. In 2006, it was 5.4%. Madam Speaker, the use of statistics can be very misleading. I want the Honourable Member to continue thereafter 2003 so that we can contextualize it so that this House is not misled. Madam Speaker, if I may refresh the mind of the Member for I think you are speeding too much. You are not around, you are speeding too much. And your speeding is not effective. And you don't even realize there is a spinner in the wing waiting to take your place on the team. Mr. Speaker, the member said, we were speaking about 9/11. You said 9/11 occurred and there was no complaint by the Labour Party. You all went about your business and there was economic recovery. There was economic growth. I recorded this. It's well recorded.
That's
the record. So, Mr. Speaker, you are not around, so I'm not surprised that you want to retract. Madam Speaker, I would also like to refer to an observation made by the Honorable Opposition Leader. He asked me a question, a written answer to a question about direct powers given by my ministry from December 06 to March 09. And he brought in, he discussed the answer at the budget address. And I don't know, after discussing the answer, I could not understand where he was going, what he wanted to insinuate. Because he mentioned the names of the contractors, the amount and so on. Now, I am left to wonder whether he's saying that the Ministry of Education was not in the habit of giving direct awards, or the amount in which the award was given was too much. Or he also mentioned that about the furniture, whether there were not local purchases of the furniture. So in that case, I decided to go a little bit of research myself. And I realized that the Ministry of Education gives direct awards. And I want to mention an award that was given on the 6th of 2 hours, one on the 16th of March, 2005. It was given to Newell Reese Broad Bridge and Associates. And it was these rehab of schools. And it was given, we had a direct award for building 5 classrooms, additional classrooms to provide spaces for the universal secondary education, for secondary schools, because there were not enough spaces. So we did that at a cost of $850,000. And that direct award was given for
$1,291,450.
Oh, record. That was not good. Then I checked again. Another award was given on the 11th of April 06. It was given to a Patrick Prince. Rehabilitation of Corum Secondary School. Rehabilitation of Corum Secondary School for $584,302.
That's why you didn't use supermarket.
So what made it worse, Madam Speaker, is that in February of this year, we got a claim from this contractor for a variation in February 08 last year. We got a bill for variation to that contract for $86,846. So I was wondering, and Madam Speaker, when it comes to furniture, okay, when you have secondary schools, you need to provide spaces and you need to provide furniture within a short period of time, and your local contractors cannot fulfill that promise to provide the furniture, you buy in bulk because these are already made and stored and can be shipped quickly. I want to find out, where did the furniture for the various secondary schools come from? The Marigo, Grosile, Baboon, and so where did they come from? Were they bought locally? Were they made locally? Madam Speaker, with this, I want to thank you very much for my presentation.